Hi everybody, I'm delighted to be here with you today to discuss the listing of pre-revenue biotech companies on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The biotech industry has experienced considerable growth in recent years thanks to population growth, global population aging, economic and technological development, and most recently COVID-19. Major global stock markets have issued new biotech listing rules in recent years to facilitate more efficient capital allocation for the biotech sector. In April 2018, the Hong Kong Exchange implemented a new listing regime aimed at attracting the listings of companies in high-growth, emerging and innovative sectors, particularly from China. This included the introduction of Chapter 18A of the Main Board Listing Rules, which allows for and stipulates requirements for listing biotech companies which can't meet the financial eligibility tests of Listing Rule 805. Under Listing Rule 805, a listing applicant is required to satisfy one of three alternative financial tests: the profits test, the market cap revenue cash flow test, or the market cap revenue test. Listing Rule 805 had previously acted as a bar to the listing of early stage biotech companies carrying out research and development, which do not yet have a record of generating positive revenue or profit. In particular, in introducing Chapter 18A, the exchange aimed at to attract the listings of pre-revenue Chinese biotech companies. Previously, the financial tests for listing on the exchange prevented these companies from listing in Hong Kong, and they typically listed on NASDAQ instead. The first listing applications under the new listing rules were filed in early May 2018. PRC's Asclepius Pharma Inc., which develops and commercializes innovative drugs against HCV, HIV, and HBV, was the first biotech company to make an application. Since the introduction of Chapter 18A, the exchange has become the world's second largest and Asia's largest funding hub for biotech companies. At last year's Hong Kong Exchange Biotech Summit, the exchange expressed its ambition to become the world's number one listing venue for biotech firms in the coming years and was optimistic on the high growth prospects of the biotech sector. According to the Hong Kong Exchange's IPO Express June 2022 issue, the 2018 listing reforms fundamentally changed the DNA of Hong Kong's markets. For the period from 2018 up to May 2022, healthcare was the third largest sector by percentage of IPO funds raised on the exchange, accounting for 19% of all IPO funds raised in the period. In contrast, for the period between 2014 and 2017, healthcare accounted for 7% of IPO funds raised. There's been a steady stream of biotech companies listing under Chapter 18A since its implementation. As at June 2022, approximately 50 biotech companies had conducted listings on the exchange under Chapter 18A, raising an aggregate of approximately 115 billion Hong Kong dollars of funds in their IPOs. These included several dual-listed biotech companies, of which BeiGene, a NASDAQ-listed biopharma company focused on developing drugs for the treatment of cancer, was the first to dual-list in Hong Kong, raising approximately 6.8 billion Hong Kong dollars in August 2018. H-share Chapter 18A companies Shanghai Junshe Biosciences and CanSino Biologics have listed on Shanghai's Star Market. A number of Chapter 18A listed companies have also conducted successful post-listing fundraisings. Innovent Biologics Inc., for example, raised 4.8 billion Hong Kong dollars in two rounds of share placings. BeiGene Limited, Shanghai Junshe Biosciences, CanSino Biologics, and Innovent Biologics have each now met the revenue and market cap test for listing under Listing Rule 805 and have had their listings upgraded to a general listing. The vast majority of Chapter 18A listed biotech companies in Hong Kong are based in China. A notable exception is Sinomab Bioscience, a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company that creates and develops therapeutic antibodies, which is based in Hong Kong. The strong pipeline of Chinese biotech companies listing in Hong Kong is due in part to the biotech sector's inclusion in China's Made in China 2025 plan and its prioritization in China's 13th and 14th five-year plans. There's also been strong investor demand for Chapter 18A IPOs. For example, the February 2021 public offering of New Horizon Health Limited, a Chapter 18A IPO, was oversubscribed by around 4,133 times, the second highest oversubscription of a Hong Kong exchange listing on record. According to May 2022 statistics from Hang Seng Indexes Company, the Hang Seng Hong Kong Listed Biotech Index, which reflects the overall performance of biotech companies listed in Hong Kong, has generated a return of 15.9% or an annualized return of 1.8% since January 2014, outperforming the benchmark represented by the Hang Seng Composite Index with an annualized return of minus 0.5% by 2.3% on an annualized basis. In August 2020, pre-revenue biotech companies listed under Chapter 18A became eligible for inclusion in the Hang Seng Composite Index. The shares of Chapter 18A issuers that are included in the HSCI or have corresponding A shares listed on the Shanghai or Shenzhen Stock Exchange are also eligible for southbound trading under Stock Connect. There's no pre-revenue biotech listing regime for JEB. Chapter 18A of the listing rules provides for the listing of biotech companies that cannot meet the financial eligibility test of the listing rule 805. A biotech company that's able to satisfy the financial eligibility requirements under listing rule 805 can't list under Chapter 18A and should list under the general listing rules. As provided in listing rule 18A02, companies that list under Chapter 18A are still required to satisfy the eligibility requirements of Chapter 8, other than those under Listing Rules 805, 805A, 805B, and 805C. Listing Rules 805 to 805C set out the financial eligibility requirements for listing, which include track record management continuity and ownership continuity, and control requirements for listing, and the exceptions to these requirements, as well as the prohibition on listing cash companies. Chapter 18A applicants must also satisfy the additional eligibility criteria specified in Chapter 18A, as supplemented by the Hong Kong Exchange's guidance letters GL9218, GL8516, and GL10720, which I'll talk about later. The Hong Kong Exchange has set up a biotech advisory panel made up of market participants to assist in the review of Chapter 18A listing applications. The function of the panel is advisory only, and members are consulted by the Hong Kong Exchange, the listing committee, or the SFC on an individual and as required basis. In order to be considered eligible and suitable for listing under Chapter 18A, the company must first meet the definition of a biotech company, which is defined in Listing Rule 18A01 as a company primarily engaged in the R&D, application and commercialization of biotech products, processes or technologies, collectively referred to as biotech products. Biotech is defined as the application of science and technology to produce commercial products with a medical or other biological application. An applicant must then demonstrate that it meets the suitability criteria set out in the Exchange's guidance letter GL9218, Suitability for Listing of Biotech Companies. According to the guidance letter, a biotech company may be allowed to list if it can demonstrate various features, which I'll go through now. An applicant must have developed at least one core product beyond the concept stage. A core product is a biotech product that forms the basis of the listing application, which is required by applicable laws, rules, or regulations to be evaluated and approved by a competent authority based on data derived from clinical trials on human subjects prior to being marketed and sold in the market regulated by that competent authority. The authorities recognized as competent authorities by Chapter 18A are the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the China Food and Drug Administration, the CFDA, which is now known as the National Medical Products Administration, NMPA, and the European Medicines Agency. The Hong Kong Stock Exchange may exercise its discretion to recognize other national or supranational authorities as competent authorities on a case-by-case basis, depending on the nature of the biotech product. The Hong Kong Exchange provides in its FAQs that in determining whether it would accept the clinical trials of a biotech product that are carried out by an authority that's not recognized under Chapter 18A, it will consider first whether such authority can be regarded as or authorized as a comparable authority as to the competent authorities. Secondly, whether the authority's approval process in respect of the relevant biotech product is comparable to the process and expertise of a comparable authority in terms of evaluating the robustness of a biotech product. And thirdly, whether there are precedent cases on the basis of other biotech products seeking such comparable authority for guidance or reference. A core product will be regarded as having been developed beyond the concept stage if it has met the developmental milestones specified for the type of product set out in GL9218, which I'll talk about now. The types of products specified in the guidance letter are pharmaceutical, small molecule drugs, biologics, medical devices, including diagnostics and other biotech products. In the case of pharmaceutical small molecule drug products, which are based on previously approved products, the applicant must have successfully completed at least one clinical trial conducted on human subjects, whilst for new pharmaceutical small molecule drug products, the applicant must have completed phase 1 clinical trials, being trials on human subjects categorized as phase 1 by the FDA or an equivalent process designated by another competent authority. In both cases, the relevant competent authority must have no objection for the applicant to commence phase 2 or later clinical trials. For an in-licensed or acquired core product, the exchange expects the applicant to have completed at least one clinical trial regulated by the relevant competent authority on human subjects since the in-licensing or acquisition. If at least one clinical trial has not been completed, the Hong Kong Exchange will assess why no clinical trial has been completed and whether the applicant has carried out substantive R&D work and processes equivalent to the completion of one clinical trial on human subjects. Administrative processes are not recognized as substantive R&D work and processes. In respect of new biologic products, the applicant must have completed phase 1 clinical trials and the relevant competent authority must not have objected to the commencement of phase 2 or later clinical trials. For biosimilar products, the applicant must have completed at least one clinical trial on human subjects, and the relevant competent authority must have no objection for it to commence phase 2 or later clinical trials to demonstrate bioequivalency. In the case of an in-licensed or acquired biologic product, the applicant must have completed at least one clinical trial regulated by the relevant competent authority on human subjects since the in-licensing or acquisition. For a medical device, which includes a diagnostic device, the product must be categorized under the relevant competent authority's classification criteria as a Class 2 medical device or above, and the applicant must have completed at least one clinical trial on human subjects. In addition, the applicant must demonstrate that the competent authority or the authorized institution, as defined in the guidance letter, has endorsed or not objected to the applicant proceeding to further clinical trials, or that the authority or institution does not object to the applicant commencing sales of the device. Other biotech products are considered on a case-by-case basis. The Hong Kong Exchange will determine whether the applicant has demonstrated that the product has been developed beyond the concept stage by reference to, among other things, the factors considered for pharmaceutical, biologics, and medical devices, which I've talked about, as well as whether there is an appropriate framework or objective indicators for investors to make an informed investment decision about the applicant. The SFC's consent under Listing Rule 204 would be required for a determination to accept such an application. The Hong Kong Exchange categorizes biotech products according to their categorization by a competent authority. If a biotech product is regulated as a pharmaceutical, biologics, or medical device, a biotech company cannot reclassify the product as other biotech product because it's unable to meet the requirements for the relevant category. If there's no regulatory regime specifying external milestones or objective framework for assessing the developmental process, progress, marketing clinical relevance of a product in the other biotech product category in determining whether it's been developed beyond the concept stage, the Hong Kong Exchange will consider factors such as the number, selection process, and diversity of the test sampling population and the availability of data from preclinical and clinical trials. It will also take into account the proposed timeframe and any impediments to commercialization, and whether the preclinical and clinical results have been published in medical and scientific journals. Where the competent authority has published relevant guidelines, its views and aspects of a comparable framework and/or objective indicators of other biotech products may also be considered. These factors are neither exhaustive nor binding, and the Hong Kong Exchange will take into account all relevant circumstances in its assessment of the applicant's suitability for listing. In May 2022, the Hong Kong Exchange issued listing decision LD135/2022, which concerned a Chapter 18A listing applicant, Company A. Company A had identified product X, a biologic product, as one of its core products for the purpose of its proposed listing. Company A carried out phase one clinical trials on product X in Australia and then carried out global pivotal phase 2/3 clinical trials on product X in multi-centers, including the EU and China markets. Before completing the Australian trial, Company A requested a rapid scientific advice from the EMA and initiated an investigational new drug application with the NMPA. Company A submitted the clinical trial designs for the Australian trial and the global pivotal phase 2/3 clinical trials and presented the Australian trial clinical data to the EMA and the NMPA. Following a review of materials on the Australian trial clinical data and the global pivotal phase 2/3 clinical trials protocol, the EMA and the NMPA each confirmed their acknowledgement and acceptance of the Australian trial results and that they had no objection for Company A to progress to the pivotal global phase 2/3 clinical trials on product X. Later, both the EMA and the NMPA granted Company A approval to start the phase 2/3 clinical trials on product X. The issue for the exchange to determine was whether product X satisfies the relevant core product eligibility requirements under guidance letters 9218 and Chapter 18A. As I've mentioned, according to GL 9218, for a new biologic product to satisfy the suitability requirement of being a core product developed beyond the concept stage, the applicant must demonstrate that it has completed phase one clinical trials. These are clinical trials on human subjects categorized as phase one clinical trials by the FDA or an equivalent process regulated by another competent authority. And the relevant competent authority has no objection for it to commence phase two or later clinical trials. The Australian trial was regulated by Australia's Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, and therefore is not considered a clinical trial regulated by a competent authority recognised under Chapter 18A. However, as I previously referred to, the Hong Kong Exchange may accept clinical trials of a biotech product that are regulated by authorities that are not Chapter 18A competent authorities. In its listing decision, the Hong Kong Exchange took into account all relevant facts and circumstances when determining whether or not the Australian trial satisfied the relevant core product eligibility requirements. In view of the fact that the EMA and the NMPA, which are both Chapter 18A competent authorities, had reviewed and taken into account the clinical trial design and data of the Australian trial in granting their approval to start the global pivotal phase 2/3 clinical trials, and that the EMA and the NMPA had confirmed their acknowledgement and acceptance of the Australian trial results, and that they had no objection for Company A to progress to the phase 2/3 clinical trials based on the Australian trial's clinical results, the exchange considered that the Australian trial satisfied the suitability requirement. The Hong Kong Exchange emphasized that this decision is based on the specific facts and circumstances of the case, and that the conclusion is specifically related to product X. Importantly, this decision should not be construed to mean that a clinical trial conducted in Australia is generally accepted as a trial regulated by a competent authority, nor that the TGA is generally accepted as a competent authority under Chapter 18A. The second factor that the applicant must demonstrate to be considered suitable for listing is that it must be primarily engaged in R&D for the development of its core products and must have been engaged in the R&D of its core products for at least 12 months before listing. In the case of a core product that is in-licensed or acquired from third parties, the applicant must be able to demonstrate progress in its R&D since the in-licensing or acquisition. For example, it could demonstrate that a product progressed from the preclinical to the clinical stage, or from one phase of a clinical trial to the next, or received regulatory approval from the competent authority to market the core product. If a core product has been commercialized in a given market for specified indication, and the applicant intends to apply a portion of the listing proceeds to expand the indications of the commercialized product, or launch it in another market, the exchange expects additional R&D on the core product relating to the clinical trials required by the competent authority for the new indication or commercialization in a new regulated market. The Hong Kong Exchange provides in separate guidance letter GL10720, that it expects the applicant to disclose in the listing document an overview of the strategies on the commercialized core product, including therapeutic and regional priorities, and the objective of additional studies in advancing the commercialized core product, with a breakdown of the funds to support such additional R&D and other development activities. The third suitability factor is that the applicant's primary reason for listing must be to raise finance for R&D to bring its core products to commercialization. This means that the proceeds from the IPO must be used to bring applicants' core products to commercialization and not for other purposes. GL9218 includes specific guidance on biotech companies that develop medical devices with short development cycles. The Hong Kong Exchange may take into consideration these companies' business plans and the development stage of their pipeline products to allow them to apply part of their listing proceeds to, for instance, establishing production facilities that will be used principally for manufacturing core products to bring them to commercialization, and establishing sales, marketing, and medical teams to commercialize the core products. In order for an applicant to establish that it is suitable for listing, it also needs to have registered patent applications and/or intellectual property in relation to its core products. An applicant engaged in R&D of pharmaceutical, small molecule drugs, products, or biologic products must have a pipeline of those potential products. To be considered suitable for listing, a Chapter 18A applicant must also demonstrate that it has previously received meaningful third-party investment, which was more than just a token investment, from at least one sophisticated investor at least 6 months before the proposed listing. That investment must also continue at the date of listing. The purpose of this requirement is to show a reasonable degree of market acceptance for the applicant's biotech product and R&D. In the case of a spin-off listing from a parent company, the Hong Kong Exchange may not insist on compliance with this investment requirement, where the applicant can otherwise demonstrate a reasonable degree of acceptance for its R&D and biotech product. The Hong Kong Exchange assesses whether an investor is a sophisticated investor on a case-by-case basis, taking into account factors such as the investor's net assets and assets under management, relevant investment experience and knowledge, and expertise in the relevant field. GL9218 gives examples of sophisticated investors, namely dedicated healthcare or biotech funds, funds with a division or department specifically investing in the biopharmaceutical sector, major pharmaceutical or healthcare companies, and their venture capital funds, and investors, investment funds, or financial institutions with assets under management of at least 1 billion Hong Kong dollars. Whether a third-party investment is meaningful is evaluated on a case-by-case basis, taking into consideration the nature, amount, stake, and timing of the investment. The Hong Kong Exchange provides indicative benchmarks of the investment amount that the Hong Kong Exchange typically considers to be meaningful, which depends on the applicant's market cap. For an applicant with a market cap of 1.5 to 3 billion Hong Kong dollars, an investment amount of at least 5% of its issued share capital on listing will be considered meaningful. For an applicant with a market cap of 3 to 8 billion Hong Kong dollars, an investment amount of at least 3% of its issued share capital on listing will be regarded as meaningful, while an applicant with a market cap of above 8 billion Hong Kong dollars would need an investment amount of at least 1% of its issued share capital for it to be regarded as meaningful. Pre-revenue biotech companies should ascertain early on in the IPO application process as to whether they satisfy the suitability factors set out in GR9218, which I've just gone through in some detail. Certain of the suitability factors may provide significant obstacles to listing. Conventional issuers are not subject to such additional suitability criteria. Notably, conventional issuers are not subject to any requirement to have any prior third-party investment. In addition to the suitability requirements, Chapter 18A listing applicants must satisfy other eligibility requirements for listing. Chapter 18A applicants must have a minimum expected market cap of 1.5 billion Hong Kong dollars at the time of listing under Listing Rule 18A032. In comparison, a conventional issuer is subject to a minimum expected market cap at listing of 500 million Hong Kong dollars under Listing Rule 8092. As set out in Listing Rule 18033, biotech companies applying for listing under Chapter 18A must have a track record of operating in their current line of business for at least 2 financial years prior to listing under substantially the same management. In comparison, issuers under the conventional listing route are generally required to have a trading record of at least 3 financial years with management continuity for at least the 3 preceding financial years. Chapter 18A listing applicants must also meet enhanced working capital requirements under Listing Rule 18034 to mitigate the risk that they may be unable to meet their operational expenses after listing. Applicants are required to have available sufficient working capital to cover at least 125% of the group's costs for at least 12 months from the listing document date, after taking into account the IPO proceeds. These costs should consist substantially of general administrative and operating costs, including production costs and R&D costs. The Hong Kong Exchange expects a substantive portion of the IPO proceeds to be applied to these costs. Capital expenditures are not required to be included in the calculation of working capital requirements for the purpose of Listing Rule 18A034. However, where capital expenditures are financed out of borrowings, relevant interest and loan repayments must be included in the calculation. Biotech companies are required to include R&D costs, even if they're capitalized, in the calculation of working capital requirements for the purpose of Listing Rule 18A034. A conventional issuer is not subject to a requirement to have working capital available to cover at least 125% of the group's costs for at least 12 months from the listing document date, and that the cost should substantially consist of specified costs. However, under Listing Rule 821A, all listing applicants must include a working capital statement in their listing documents. In making this statement, the applicant must be satisfied after due and careful inquiry that it and its subsidiary undertakings have available sufficient working capital for the group's present requirements, that is, for at least the next 12 months from the listing document date. Ownership continuity requirements are set out in GR9218. In assessing a biotech applicant's suitability for listing under Chapter 18A, the exchange takes into consideration any change in the applicant's ownership in the 12 months before the listing application date. In comparison, issuers under the conventional listing route are required under Listing Rule 805 to have ownership continuity and control for the most recent audited financial year. Chapter 18A listing applicants must comply with the general public float requirement of Listing Rule 8081 that at least 25% of their issued shares are publicly held at all times, or any lower percentage permitted by the Hong Kong Exchange. Listing Rule 18A07 additionally requires that Chapter 18A listing applicants ensure that a portion of their issued shares with a market cap of at least 375 million Hong Kong dollars are held by the public at the time of listing. Any shares allocated to a cornerstone investor and any shares subscribed by existing shareholders of the biotech company at the time of listing will not be regarded as publicly held for the purpose of Listing Rule 18A07. This is not a requirement for the general public float requirement. This means that provided an applicant that can meet the listing rule 18A07 requirement for $375 million Hong Kong dollar public float, Cornerstone Investments and existing shareholder subscriptions can be included in determining the company's public float under listing rule 8081, provided that the Cornerstone investors and existing shareholders are not core connected persons of the applicant or otherwise are not recognized as members of the public under listing rule 824. Listing rule 824 sets out the definition of the public for the general public float requirement. Cornerstone investors are defined in Chapter 18A as investors in an applicant's IPO who are given a guaranteed allocation of shares, irrespective of the final offer price. Generally speaking, Cornerstone investors are usually larger institutions and prominent individuals, such as asset management funds, sovereign wealth funds, and Hong Kong tycoons, to whom a portion of the shares in the IPO placing tranche are preferentially placed in order to signal to the market that these investors have confidence in the listing applicant. Chapter 18A listings enjoy modified requirements relating to the subscription and allocation of IPO shares. The rules on the ability of an applicant's existing shareholders to invest in its IPO are different for Chapter 18A biotech companies than for companies listing under the general listing rules. This is because pre-revenue biotech companies are expected to have significant ongoing funding needs to bring their core products to commercialization. GL9218 recognizes this and the fact that the existing shareholders of biotech applicants may wish to continue to participate in the company's fundraisings to prevent their shareholdings being diluted. The existing shareholder conditions, which normally apply where an applicant's existing shareholders or their close associates participate as Cornerstone investors or as placees in the applicant's IPO under the Hong Kong Exchange guidance letter GL8516, do not apply to biotech companies listing under Chapter 18A. GL9218 provides that given the likely funding needs of biotech companies and the important role played by their existing shareholders in providing funding, existing shareholders are allowed to participate in a biotech company's IPO, provided that the company complies with the public float requirements of listing rules 8081 and 18A07, that is the general public float requirement and the additional Chapter 18A specific public float requirement, which I just mentioned. An existing shareholder holding less than 10% of the applicant's shares can subscribe for shares in its IPO as either a placee or a cornerstone investor. Where the existing shareholder subscribes as a placee, the applicant and sponsor are required to confirm that no preference was given to the shareholder in making the allocation. Where the existing shareholder subscribes as a cornerstone investor, the applicant and its sponsor must confirm that the only preferential treatment given to the shareholder was that of an assured entitlement at the IPO price, and that the terms of the existing shareholder's acquisition are substantially the same as those of the other cornerstone investors. An existing shareholder holding 10% or more of an applicant's shares is allowed to subscribe in the IPO as a cornerstone investor, but not as a placee. GL9218 also allows an existing shareholder with a contractual anti-dilution right to exercise such right and subscribe for shares in the IPO in accordance with the requirements of paragraph 310 of the Hong Kong Exchange's guidance letter GL4312, which relates to the anti-dilution rights of pre-IPO investors. Where IPO shares will be allocated to a biotech company's core connected persons, the applicant will need to apply for a waiver from Listing Rule 909, which prohibits the applicant's core connected persons from dealing in the shares for which listing is sought. According to GL9218, a Listing Rule 909 waiver will normally be granted by the Hong Kong Exchange to a biotech company. Hong Kong IPOs typically consist of a placing tranche for institutional investors and a public subscription tranche for retail investors. Practice Note 18 of the Listing Rule sets out procedures in relation to the allocation of shares in IPOs, covering the allocation between the placing tranche and public subscription tranche. GL9218 recognizes that pre-revenue biotech companies potentially carry additional risks for retail investors. It therefore requires Chapter 18A listing applicants to present compelling reasons if they wish to apply for a modification to the PN18 minimum public subscription requirement. The Hong Kong Exchange will consider requests for modifying the minimum public subscription requirement on an individual case basis. Turning now to listing document disclosure requirements for Chapter 18A companies. Their listing documents are required by Listing Rule 18A06 to include an accountant's report covering two financial years. This is instead of three financial years, which is the general requirement under Listing Rule 404. Companies applying for listing with an accountant's report covering two financial years are required to apply for a certificate of exemption from the applicable disclosure requirements under the third schedule to the company's winding up and miscellaneous provisions ordinance. Pre-revenue biotech companies must include in their listing documents the information which all listing applicants are required to include as specified in Appendix 1A to the listing rules, and must also disclose the additional information required by Listing Rule 18A04. Listing Rule 18.04 requires disclosure of the biotech company's strategic objectives and details of each of its core products, which should include a description of the core product and details of any relevant regulatory approval required and/or obtained. Disclosure is also required of a summary of material communications with the relevant competent authority in relation to the core products, except where disclosure is not permitted under applicable laws or regulations or the directions of the competent authority. The Hong Kong Exchange sets out in guidance that competent authorities have adopted different procedures in interphase clinical trial approval. For example, since 2015, the NMPA has adopted a one-time umbrella approval procedure for any new drug clinical trial application and may not grant phase-by-phase approval or issue further confirmation. In order to satisfy the listing rule requirement to disclose a summary of material communications with the relevant competent authority, the Hong Kong Exchange provides in guidance that an applicant should disclose all material interactions with the competent authority and the results of these interactions, whether the NMPA has raised material concerns or objections towards the completed or ongoing clinical trials, or it has no objection to commencing phase two or later clinical trials, or a negative statement if there's no communication with the relevant competent authority. Under Listing Rule 18A04, disclosure is also required of the stage of R&D reached for each core product and the requirements and likely timeframe for each core product to reach commercialization. Listing documents must also include all material safety data, including any serious adverse events, and a description of the immediate market opportunity for each core product if it proceeds to commercialization and any potential increased market opportunity in the future, including a general description of the competition and the potential market. Details of patents granted, registered, and applied for must be disclosed, unless it can be shown that this would require the disclosure of highly sensitive commercial information or an appropriate negative statement. The company's material rights and obligations under applicable licensing agreements need to be disclosed for in-licensed products. For a core product, which is a biologic product, disclosure of planned capacity and production-related technology details is required. Where regulatory approval has been granted for a core product, the listing document must state that there have been no material unexpected or adverse changes since the date of the regulatory approval. Any material changes must be prominently disclosed. If the applicant owns any biotech products which have been approved for commercialization by a competent authority, the applicant must include a description of these approved products, as well as the length of unexpired patent protection period and details of current and expected market competitors. The listing document must also include information on the biotech company's R&D experience, including laboratory R&D, the expertise and experience of its key management and technical staff, and any collaborative development and research agreements. There must be disclosure of the directors and senior management's experience in the R&D manufacturing and commercialization of biotech products, as well as any measures that the applicant has in place to retain and arrangements in case of the departure of, and the salient terms of any service agreements with, key management or technical staff. Applicants must disclose any legal claims or proceedings that may influence their R&D for any core product. Disclosure of general and specific risks is also required. For example, the potential risks in clinical trials, risks associated with the approval process for core products, and the extent to which the business depends on key individuals and the impact of the departure of key management or technical staff on the applicant's business. Biotech companies' listing documents must contain an estimate of their cash operating costs, including the costs of R&D and clinical trials incurred in the development of their core product, as well as the costs of employing their workforce, direct production costs if production has commenced, R&D, any product marketing, any non-income taxes, royalties and other governmental charges, contingency allowances and any other significant costs. A biotech company is required to set out the components of cash operating costs separately by category, explain the reason for any departure from the list of items to be included under cash operating costs, and discuss any material cost items that should be highlighted to investors. Listing Rule 18A04 also lists a number of other matters which should be disclosed if they are relevant and material to the biotech company's business. These include project risks arising from environmental, social, and health and safety issues, as well as compliance with host country laws, regulations, and permits, and payments made to host country governments in relation to tax, royalties, and other significant payments on a country-by-country basis. If relevant and material, a biotech company is also required to disclose its historical experience of dealing with host country laws and practices, including management of differences between national and local practice and its historical experience of dealing with local governments and communities' concerns on the sites of its research and trials and relevant management arrangements. In addition, if an applicant has obtained an expert technical assessment, that assessment should be included in the listing document if relevant. The Hong Kong Exchange also requires listing documents to include a prominent warning statement that the company's core products may not ultimately be successfully developed and marketed. The Hong Kong Exchange's guidance letter GL 10720, Disclosure and Listing Documents for Biotech Companies, provides guidance for Chapter 18A listing applicants, which supplements the Exchange's general guidance on listing document disclosure applicable to all applicants. So guidance letter GL 10720 first provides some general drafting guidance, in particular in light of the significant retail interest in biotech companies and the risks associated with investing in them. The exchange emphasizes the importance of fair, balanced and accurate disclosure, including clear and precise disclosure of their business models and products, and upfront disclosure of significant risk factors, and encourages the use of diagrams or flowcharts. Further, a biotech company should disclose the details of any major adverse events, their actual and potential impact, and the company's mitigating measures. An example of a major adverse event is interruptions on clinical trials as a result of COVID. The exchange then sets out a series of disclosure recommendations, commencing with the summary section of the listing document. The exchange's recommendations include disclosing a summary of the business model, key risks, core products, and key non-core products, and their competitive landscape, as well as disclosing a development timetable and any expected material increase in costs or expenses over the period covered by the working capital forecast. The Hong Kong Exchange also emphasizes the importance of using simple or plain language to the extent that this does not compromise scientific accuracy. Full terminology, cross-references, and meaningful headings in the summary section. Applicants are expected to clearly disclose their business model, which may be either or a combination of an in-licensing model and or a self-developed model. The exchange expects applicants to disclose key aspects of their models, including a fair and balanced disclosure on the level of R&D undertaken and to be undertaken, which should correspond to the business model and the market potential. In addition, any in-licensing arrangements or out-licensing arrangements, including their material terms, should be disclosed in accordance with the guidance letter. The Hong Kong Exchange provides detailed guidance on the information required in relation to the applicant's core products and key non-core products, including in respect of the product's origins and jurisdiction rights, share market opportunities, relevant studies, the applicant's R&D and commercialization strategies, the experience of and the applicant's collaboration with participating research institutions, any recorded sales, any significant non-core products, and products classified and regulated as orphan medicines or innovative therapies, and any commercialized core products. The applicant should consider excluding disclosures related to products which are at the very early preclinical stage, where the applicant does not have meaningful preclinical research data or the data is deemed scientifically sensitive. Applicants are expected to disclose specified details of their material IP rights in relation to their products, including the tenure and material payment obligations associated with those rights, whether the IP rights are in-licensed or self-owned, the product parts protected by material IP rights, the extent and form to which such IP is protected, and any risks of IP infringement. The listing document should also include a director's statement supported by the sponsor's due diligence as to whether the applicant has infringed any third-party IP rights. Applicants should disclose the R&D team's size, experience, qualifications, and areas of specialization, and how long the team has been working on similar products. Separately, the Hong Kong Exchange provides in its FAQs that where a principal investigator who is in charge of or supervises a biotech company's clinical trial has additional roles in the biotech company, for example, being a member of a scientific advisory panel and receives compensation for such roles, the exchange expects listing document disclosure of the investigator's specific functions in the biotech company and the terms of compensation, as well as whether such compensation may impair the clinical trial's integrity. GL 10720 also provides guidance on the disclosure required in the industry overview section of the listing document. The exchange reminds applicants and sponsors to ensure the accuracy of industry data and statistics and states that there should be clear disclosure of data sources relied on by industry consultants. For example, if official data on certain target markets is unavailable, there should be disclosure of summaries on the basis and assumptions used by the industry consultants in deriving the industry data. The exchange further says the sponsors are required to check the reasonableness of such assumptions and bases. In addition, the exchange expects that the addressable markets of the applicant's core products and the key non-core products should be clearly defined, and material information on these markets should be disclosed. The competitive landscape of the product's therapeutic areas is expected to be disclosed, including where applicable information on competing products, such as the name, line of treatment, price, reimbursement coverage, expiration date of key IP rights, technologies, and addressable markets. The exchange also sets out certain funding and financial disclosure expectations. In particular, there should be disclosure of the valuation of each round of pre-IPO investment and reasons for any material fluctuations in valuation as compared with the previous round of pre-IPO financing, and any material fluctuations between the proposed IPO valuation and the latest round of pre-IPO financing. Material information on sophisticated investors should be disclosed, such as their background and track record in the relevant biotech industry. Listing documents should also state a reasonable time period with basis during which the applicant could remain viable with its existing cash balance and the IPO proceeds, and disclose when the applicant anticipates conducting its next round of financing based on its burn rate. The assumptions relied on when calculating the burn rate should be reasonable. Biotech companies listed under Chapter 18A are subject to additional and modified continuing obligations as compared with an issue with a standard listing. First, biotech companies are subject to enhanced disclosure in their financial reports. Biotech companies are required by Listing Rule 18A08 to provide details of their R&D activities for the relevant period in their annual and half-yearly reports. This should include a summary of expenditure on R&D activities in addition to details of the key stages and an indication of the likely time frame for each core product under development to reach commercialization. Financial reports must also include a prominently disclosed warning that a core product may not ultimately be successfully developed and marketed. Certain transactions entered into by a listed company may be categorized as notifiable transactions under Chapter 14 of the listing rules. Notifiable transactions are relatively large transactions and are classified based on the size of the transaction compared to the size of the issuer. The requirements for a notifiable transaction depend on which of the classifications of notifiable transaction set out in Listing Rule 1406 the transaction falls into, such as disclosable transaction or major transaction. Classification is made on the basis of the 5% ratio set out in Listing Rule 1407, such as the assets ratio or revenue or profits ratio. Listing Rule 1420 says that if any percentage ratio produces an anomalous result or is inappropriate to the company's sphere of activity, the exchange may disregard the calculation and or substitute other relevant size indicators or industry-specific tests. GL 9218 says that since biotech companies listed under Chapter 18A are not required to meet the financial eligibility test at the time of listing, it may not be appropriate to apply the revenue and profit ratios to their proposed transactions. In particular, the exchange may exercise its discretion under Listing Rule 1420 to disregard these two ratios for Chapter 18A listed companies and consider other appropriate indicators of size, such as industry-specific tests suggested by the issuer. Listing Rule 18A11 requires Chapter 18A issuers to be identified through the stock marker B for biotech at the end of their stock name. This enables investors to differentiate biotech companies that don't meet the financial eligibility test on listing from other companies listed on the Hong Kong Exchange. Biotech companies listed under Chapter 18A are subject to additional and modified requirements relating to changes to the company and its business. Under Listing Rule 18A10, listed biotech companies require the exchange's consent for any acquisition, disposal, or other transaction or arrangement or series of these that would result in a fundamental change to the company's principal business activities, as described in its listing document. This restriction was imposed due to concerns that pre-revenue biotech companies may become shell companies if they do not achieve their business objectives and thus potential targets for backdoor listings. That is, attempts to list new assets or businesses in circumvention of the requirements for new listing applicants. The Hong Kong Exchange noted in its consultation paper on the introduction of Chapter 18A that Listing Rule 18A10 is not aimed at restricting legitimate business development, and that the Hong Kong Exchange will normally grant prior consent if it is satisfied that the issuer in question is engaging in legitimate business expansion or diversification as part of its business strategy. Pre-revenue biotech companies listed under Chapter 18A are subject to the same delisting rules as other listed issuers, except where the Hong Kong Exchange considers that such an issuer has failed to comply with its continuing obligation under Listing Rule 1324 to maintain sufficient operations and assets to warrant its continued listing. In these circumstances, the exchange may either suspend dealings or cancel the listing of the company's shares under Listing Rule 601, or under Listing Rule 18A09, it may give the issuer a period of up to 12 months rather than the 18 months generally given to other listed issuers to re-comply with Listing Rule 13.24. If the issuer fails to re-comply within 12 months, its listing will be cancelled. Once a biotech company is listed under Chapter 18A and is able to satisfy one of the three financial eligibility tests under Listing Rule 805, the requirements of Listing Rules 18A09 to 18A11 relating to sufficiency of operations, prior Hong Kong Exchange consent for transactions resulting in a fundamental change in the company's business and stock marker B, all cease to apply, and the company is treated as a company listed under the general listing rules. So this brings us to the end of today's webinar. Thank you for joining me, and bye for now.